Welcome to This Day in Pottery History, a series of brief observations, meditations, vignettes, and editorials about the backroads and byways of pottery history that helped shape the pottery world as we know it today, here on this very day in pottery history. I'm your host, Stephen Earp. For images and reading lists associated with these narratives, visit StephenEarp.com/podcasts. And now, let's get going. Episode 26, The Execution of Charles Stuart. I am, like many, awed by the talent of the Staffordshire potter Thomas Toft, active 1671 to 1689. His slipware dishes trace both complicated imagery and unique perspectives on English history. So, I'll start this story a few years earlier. At 2 p.m. on January 29th, 1649, to be precise, Charles Stuart had just ascended the scaffold erected for him in the banquet hall of Whitehall, London. Had he not previously decided that he, as Charles I, King of England, could do no wrong, he might not have angered Oliver Cromwell and the Puritan Roundheads to revolt. The Puritans meant well, but their commonwealth was a dreary place. They frowned upon idolatry and frivolous displays of art. Had they not been so pious, perhaps Toft would not have found an eager market for his work after their fall. Nor perhaps would the North American colonies have been neglected long enough for, as some believe, seeds of independence to be sown. But that's another story. Royalists saw their chance when Cromwell died suddenly in 1658. In 1661, they brought a surprised and grateful son of Charles I back to the throne. Earlier, Charles II had escaped the Roundheads by hiding in an oak tree. And now, the merry monarch preferred parties over revenge. But his royalist followers wanted blood. As many Commonwealth leaders as they could round up were drawn and quartered. That is, hung and hacked to pieces. But the arts flourished. Decoration was in. And so was a new drink, coffee. Imagine the situation. Wired on caffeine, no longer constrained by pious dictates, and finally able to decorate to your heart's content. That was Toft's world. A question comes to mind. Was Toft as royalist to the bone as his imagery suggests? What did he think about the butchery following Charles II's restoration? Was revenge as important as that first cup in the morning? Perhaps these questions shouldn't interfere with our appreciation of his work, any more than acknowledging Renoir's reactionary politics vis-à-vis the Paris Commune of 1881. But it does add a curve or two. Thanks for listening. And until next time, remember that rarely repeated quote by none other than Napoleon Bonaparte. History is simply the version of the past that people have agreed upon.